Well, wow. I mean, what else can you say? This has been the craziest week ever, hasn't it? And we're all together. I'm welcoming all of our campuses. Join us online, Beauty Campus, South, Central, Bob and Jill's Kitchen Campus, Dowd and Christine's Back Porch Campus, Amon's Bedroom Campus. Starts to get a little weird, doesn't it? But that song, that's where that's a popular song in our culture, but that's where people are living right now, losing my mind out of control. And many people probably being tempted right now to the cough syrup kind of solutions, right? Just to avoid or escape or quick fix. Because all of us, we feel vulnerable. I mean, think about it. When a virus can attack one man 11 weeks ago, and 11 weeks later, countries are shutting down. It's crazy, and it's affecting all of us. I know I went into the Randalls Tuesday night, and I was shocked. I mean, there was zero produce, no milk. Somebody's got a whole lot of toilet paper because we don't have much at all. But yeah, since when has toilet paper become the most important survival item? But it's affecting us, and I know it's not, it's not just the little inconvenient stuff either. Some of you, I mean, you're losing jobs or you're worried about losing jobs. You're wondering how you're going to keep it together for your family. And listen, now is the time for us to be the church. Listen, you guys, we have always said Gateway Church is not a service. It's not a building. It's people. It's people learning to love God and letting Him teach us how to better love one another and love our neighbors as ourselves. And we can still do that. We can still be the church. In fact, I think this is our greatest opportunity to reinvent and do what God has always called us to do. I really believe that we can grow stronger through this, that the relational fabric of what makes church church can grow stronger. But here's the thing. I need you to commit to some things. Commit to Sunday. Join us every Sunday online. We're going to have multiple services. Get with your family or your roommates, or if you're there at home alone, you can join. We're going to have Facebook watch parties, or you can create your own Facebook watch party and invite people. Use our Next Steps or our kids' resources online, to follow up the discussion. Our life groups, they're going to keep going. Our community groups, our Restore, Recovery, they're all just moving online, student stuff online, Zoom and other platforms. And please keep giving generously to the campus that you've been a part of as we're launching three campuses, as we're trying to figure out how to meet needs within our community. And let us know if you're having needs and how to mobilize us to meet needs. Now is a time that we can truly be the church that God calls us to be. And pray. Pray for our world, pray for our nation. Pray for our city and our church and your neighbors, and remind people of the God who loves them and who's in control, even through all this. And that's really what I want to talk about today. And I'm constantly amazed at how God does this. Because we plan our series out like 3 or 4 months, right? And we always pray, God, you know what people need to hear 3 or 4 months out, so guide us, lead us. So last fall, we actually planned to do a 3-week series leading up to Easter called Letting Go. Letting go when life feels out of control, when stress and worry and anxiety and fear are crashing in. How do we live a new way? How do we let go of the things that cause that? I mean, think about that. How did we know we'd be right here? Well, we didn't, but God did. And I truly believe that God wanted all of us to hear, me included, because this is ministered to me this week, to hear this message as we're in the midst of, pandemic fears and stock market crashes and job worries and financial future anxieties and all that. He knows. And he wants you to hear his promises today. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. Don't multitask. Don't try to do the dishes while you're listening or do other stuff. Because God wants you to hear something today. I don't know exactly what it is, but as we dive into what he promises in these times, I want to encourage you to just ask him, God, what do you want me to hear in this? And what do you want me to do? And maybe you're joining us for the first time and, you know, you don't even know what you believe about God or any of this. I'm so glad you've joined us. Stick with us the next 6 weeks. You're going to see how real God is, but also how much he loves and cares for you. So today, I just want to start with a confession. I'm John B. You're supposed to say, "Hi, John B." Come on, this is Recovery 101, all right? If I'm gonna be vulnerable and come clean, you got to create some safety here, all right? I'm John B. Okay, and I like control. I like it when things go the way I like. And when things don't go the way I like, I don't like that. And honestly, when I start to feel out of control, my first reaction is not usually a good one. And I can quickly go to stress or worry or anxiety or feel overburdened when those things happen. And I'll be honest, you know, I felt it this week. I felt it come on me as, you know, I thought, what if this keeps going? What's it going to do to you, to many of you guys? Because I love you guys. I care about what happens to you. What's it going to do to our church, our staff, our mission, being able to serve people, the what's after life? What? And I have had to personally wrestle with letting go of things that I couldn't honestly control. So how about you? All right? Is that just me or anybody else feel fear, worry, anxiety because things felt out of control this week? Any? Come on, your family, your friends are watching, people are watching. Be honest with yourself. Do we have to talk about denial? I think all of us could raise our hand, right? Especially this week. But not only this week, I mean, we struggle with this. We struggle maybe to control what our spouse or significant other does when they're not behaving right, or kids when they're not doing like they should, you know, your boss or your coworkers aren't cooperating. Or just think about all the things. I mean, markets, competitors, employees, bad circumstances, health crises, viruses. Think about all the things out of our control. And the truth is, it can emotionally tank us. We can go to bad places. Sleepless nights, headaches, neck strain, worry, panic, fear that consumes our minds. Or maybe some of us quickly go to medicating, cough syrup, like alcohol or pornography or even drugs. But all of that just compounds the problem. But what if you didn't have to worry, stress, fear, or feel anxiety? I mean, what if God really does not want his children, you know, if you've opened your heart to God, what if he doesn't want you to live with worry, fear, stress, and anxiety? What if you don't have to live that way? And you say, "Oh, great, great idea, John, but have you looked around lately? Like, the world's falling apart. What am I gonna do? Like, I've got real issues. I've gotta do something." Okay, maybe so. But do you have to worry, fear, stress, and have anxiety? I want you to just consider that maybe God has a better way for us to go through all these circumstances. Maybe you don't have to. You know, now I know some of us, you know, we think, well, if I don't worry, things won't get done. If I don't fear, I'll get hurt again. If I don't let the stressful anxiety press me forward, I won't overcome this, or I won't succeed, or whatever. But maybe those are false dichotomies, even lies, and that God really does have a better way, and he wants to teach you that better way. So Jesus talked about this in Matthew 11, 27 through 30. Because by the way, I think this coronavirus panic is the perfect time to learn this better way. So let's look at what Jesus said. He says, "My Father has entrusted everything to me." Pause a second. What's included in everything? Everything. Stock market crashes, you know, financial panics, pandemics, job loss, worries about financial future, everything. God is in control, and he wants us to remember that in times like these. And Jesus goes on, "No one truly knows the Son except God, the Father. No one truly knows the Father except God, the Son, and those who the Son chooses to reveal him." God, Jesus is claiming equality with God here. And if you don't believe that yet, stick around starting Easter for our What's After Life series, because we're going to show you how real this really is. But it's one thing to trust Jesus, like I believe in him, but what he really wants is to keep trusting him, especially in times like this. So he goes on. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear. The burden I give you, it's light." This is the unburdened way. I mean, do you realize what this is saying? The God of the universe actually cares about your weary, fearful, burdened, stressed out heart. He actually cares, and he doesn't want you to live that way. He actually wants you to set you free from those burdens. See, God is not the one heaping burdens on us. He's not a taskmaster. He's not heaping guilt or condemnation on you. He's not giving you impossible demands. It's a lie. God's humble and gentle and actually wants to lead us, teach us a way, the unburdened way through all this. But we get trained, all of us, you know, to just naturally react with fear or worry or stress. It's just the natural thing that comes out of us. And so I want to help us right now just see in Scripture how much God cares about us. And so he commands us, no, I don't want you as my child to worry, fear, or stress. Just look at all the things Scripture says. So Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you," this is Matthew 6, "do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? But seek the kingdom of God, God's will and ways, above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Do not worry." That's what he says. Do not worry. But what about my 401k? Or what about the 401k I never had? Or what about, you know, my financial future? What about my kids? What about this coronavirus? Yes, all that's real. And God sees it and he knows it. He's not saying ignore those realities. And yet he says, do not worry. Why? Because God knows you and loves you and actually wants to take you through this, will take you through this as you fully learn to trust him. You know, I know all of us have learned to worry. Have you learned to trust? Have you tried this yet? When the worry comes up inside, let it propel you to pray and to trust and just watch what God does in you, but also in your circumstances as you move forward into the future. Do not worry, he says. But he also says, do not fear. So do not fear, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. You know, isn't this crazy? I mean, 300 times in the Bible, God commands, do not fear. But why? Because there are no coronaviruses or cancers or bad circumstances? No, there are. They're real. They are. And let me just say, there's a difference between good fear and the spirit of fear. You know, fear is a natural reaction to a real and present danger, right? Someone's coming at you with a knife. That fear, don't ignore it. Do something, right? That's good fear. But then there is the spirit of fear. In other words, it's fear of things that are off in the future. You don't know and you don't have any control over them. And God is saying, do not fear. Don't let the spirit of fear overwhelm you. I am with you. Trust me. Jesus overcame death. It says he overcame death so that we would no longer fear death because he's overcome it in us. Death is the ultimate thing to fear, right? But if you have no fear, if death can't hurt you, what can hurt you? It's a different perspective God wants to remind us of. Do not fear, he says, and do not be anxious. Why? He says, I'm with you. I'll strengthen you. I will help you. Says it this way in Philippians 4:5. The Lord is near. That's why. So do not be anxious about anything. anything, but rather in every situation, pray, ask God with thanksgiving, present your request to God, talk to him about all this stuff, and the peace of God, which transcends, you know, all understanding. It'll guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. See, God commands us, do not be worried or fearful or anxious. Why? I'm with you. I'm near. Pray, trust. Let me bring peace to your overburdened heart. You know, I could go on and on with so many promises he makes like this. He doesn't want his children living that way. He says, I'm in control. I'm with you. I'm going to get you through this. You don't have to live that other way. There is a better way, the unburdened way. You say, okay, well, great, John, but have you noticed that God doesn't just fix everything? Like, the stock market's still falling. Like, I really did lose my job. I don't know how I'm going to provide for my kids. He doesn't heal every disease or stop every virus. This stuff is real. You know, I may have to let people go next week, or I may lose my job, or I don't know how I'm going to pay my debts. All that. God knows, and yes, it's true and it's real. And yet, still he promises a new way through it all, that he wants to guide you through it with the unburdened way and see if he can't actually get you through it to the other side. But we have to want it. So do you want it? Then he says, come to me. Jesus says, that's the first step. Come to me. You know, this week, to be honest, like, I was feeling this. I mean, overwhelm starts to creep in with all the things, feeling like they're falling apart or undoing, and what do I fix and what do I do? And the first thing I've learned over the years, because it's my habit, the first thing I've learned when that overwhelm comes is I have to say, I'm not doing it right. And why do I say that? Well, because it's not God's will for me to be stressed or worried or overburdened, right? We've seen that. And so I just confess. I say, I'm not doing this right. Confess it to him. You know, Jesus, what am I trying to control that I've got to let go of? And, you know, I just tell him. I surrender it to him. What is it that is going on with you right now? You know, what is it that you just need to surrender to him? Because God promises we can come to him. But what does it mean to come to him? Well, it means to acknowledge that God is actually the one in control. I'm not. And see, friends, this is actually the root of the problem. This is getting at the root. You see, I want things to go my way, but they don't. I want to be in control of everything fully, and I'm not. Why? Because I'm not God. And newsflash, you're not either. Hate to break it to you. In fact, why don't we just break it to each other? If you're with some people there, your family or friends or chatting online, why don't you just break it to them? Now break it gently, because this is going to shock them. But just tell each other right now, you're not God. Good reminder. Because here's the thing. When things are out of control, yes, they are, because you're not God. Only God's in control. We're in control of very, very little. And so what I've learned is that when I start to feel this way, it's because something has to die. Something has to die. You know, I love spring. New life, right? I mean, you're looking around and flowers are starting to be planted and bloom. Blooms are on the trees, all this color, new life sprouting up from the ground. But have you ever noticed how spring always follows winter? And winter is a season of death. Things die before new life comes. I think God did that on purpose. In other words, God has sown into the physical nature what is true spiritually as well. You know, that things die in order for new life to come. You know, Jesus said it this way, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds." You know, the farmers of his day would have understood this well, right? If a seed remains alone. If you try to keep that seed intact, in time it just rots. But if you bury it in the ground and let it die, it's going to change, but it's going to create a stalk of wheat that produces many seeds and much more life. And Jesus is not talking about seeds and wheat. He's talking about us and a spiritual principle of life. When we hold on to life as it is, it just chokes out new life in us. But seasonally, there are things in us that need to die. We need to let them go so that something new, new life that God wants to bring can sprout up from within. You know, you see this in everything. You see it in the stages of life. I remember when I first got married, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to pretty much just keep, you know, this great life that I have now, same schedule, you know, working out every day with my buddies and bike riding with other buddies every day and soccer with my buddies and, you know, TV schedule I wanted and all this and plus Kathy too. You know, it's just like adding a bonus room onto an already great house. Yeah, those of you who are married, you're scoffing and laughing, right? Because you know it won't work that way. You know, those of you who are single are like, well, I don't get it. Well, don't get married then. You got to learn this. If you try to hold on to your life as it was before, the self-focused life, your marriage will die, right? But if you die to that self-centered life, to learn to put the other first, a new life, a shared life, a greater love comes. Same thing when you have kids, but times four, right? I mean, just try to keep your life the same after having kids. I dare you. You know, my wife and I have been driving up to Dallas because I told you my daughter Ashley and her husband Dom just had a baby, our first grandbaby, Sophia. And after a month now, I think Ashley and Dom are realizing how much their lives have changed. Like they're sleep zombies, right? Like we didn't tell them. Yeah, these little bundles of joy, they're sleep killers. You know, and they're oblivious to it. They're so cute. I remember, you know, Ashley was so cute when she was little and, you know, we were getting no sleep and we're trying to tell her, honey, you're killing us with no sleep. And here's her response, little Ashley. Who, me? Yeah, she's so cute, isn't she? Well, I've decided there is justice because now that Ashley, the little cutie on the left, is now a sleep zombie, her daughter is doing the same thing, same face. What did I do? Yeah, they're oblivious. They're so cute though, aren't they? You knew I had to find a way to sneak in a grandbaby picture, right? I promise I won't do it every week. But there's a spiritual principle here. Things have to die in our lives in order for new things to grow. So let me ask you, what is it in this season maybe that needs to die? You're feeling out of control, stressed, worried, fearful, overburdened. It's a clue. Something needs to die. What is it? Maybe it's your trust in money. Maybe that's become too important. You know, maybe it's the plans that you had. You know, maybe you need to let them go and trust that God has other plans. Maybe, you know, it's people and trying to get people to do what they're supposed to. Well, you can't control people. Can you die to it? You know, whatever it is, when we're starting to feel stressed and worried and fearful and overburdened, it's a sign. There's something probably that needs to die. Why? Well, probably because we're starting to put our trust and hope in it more than God, and it's not secure, but He is. So when you let it die, remember, we're about to celebrate Easter. Crucifixion always comes before resurrection. When you let it die, something new comes to life. Something new will grow as you trust God. That's the next thing that I've seen. Now, some of you have been thinking, well, does that mean I just trust God and do nothing? No. No, you take responsibility. You take responsibility for your attitude and your next action. And the rest, you can't control no matter how hard you try. That's reality. See, but God wants you to be responsible for the things He has given you control over. So what can you control? Well, you can control your attitude. You know, you alone are responsible for the way you frame your circumstances and the attitude you have toward them. You know, Habakkuk reminds us of this. It's funny because, like I said, months ago, we planned this series, and one of the verses we planned for this week was Habakkuk 3. Listen to how appropriate this is. Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk, there's devastation everywhere. You know, the crops are failing. The livestock are all dying. The Babylonians are coming against them. And he says in Habakkuk 3:17, even though the fig trees have no blossoms, that there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the stock market is crashing and global recession and flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. I mean, notice something here. Everything's going wrong, but Habakkuk realizes, I can still choose my attitude. I can find joy. What? In the circumstances? No, they're horrible. They still suck. I can find joy in God. I can find joy in God who says he will deliver me through this. You know, Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist in Austria who was taken prisoner in, and his whole family put into Auschwitz. I've been to Auschwitz. I've toured and seen the horror stories of how the Nazi guards would strip prisoners of every human dignity. And that happened, you know, over years to Viktor Frankl. And finally, he's brought in for Inquisition. He's stripped naked. He's in front of this bright white spotlight, and these men in shiny boots are assailing him with accusations and condemnations. And Frankl has a realization that they had stripped him. They had taken from him everything, his wife, his family, his writings, his clothes, even his wedding ring. He said, but I realized something in that moment that I had seen in other prisoners too. The ones, he said, who would go around and help others, who would encourage others, who would look for ways to lift others up, even in the worst circumstances. And here was his realization. Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. When we are no longer able to change a situation, we're challenged to change ourselves. Between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. You can choose your attitude. You know, God's given you all these promises. You know, that you don't worry or fear or be anxious because he's with you. He loves you. Trust him. Go to him in this and let him change your attitude through it. That attitude is a choice. Second thing you can control is your next right action. That's really about it. I mean, you can plan for tomorrow, but things can change overnight and your plans will be nothing. We're seeing that right now, right? I mean, in spades, things are changing all the time. You can plan, but you can only act now. And so God's giving you control over the next right action. So think about this week, when you start to get stressed or worried or fearful, and you will, I mean, we all do, and God's not impatient with you. He's not angry at you because you do. Just go to him and say, God, remind me of your promises and help me frame this with your bigger perspective. I'm going to choose my attitude. And God, show me the next right thing to do. He promises he's leading you and guide you. So what's the next right thing you can do? And do it. And maybe it's going to be a simple thing like go hug your kids. You know, in this time, you can do a sock war. You can play with them. Maybe you should do that. Or maybe as you're praying about, you know, losing your company or finding another job, a thought comes to mind of how you can get that job or save your company. Write it down. That's the thing you can do to action on it later. Or maybe it's to minister to others, to ask your online friends, hey, how can I pray for you guys in this? What are you going through? Or to think about how you can serve your neighbors. You know, out on gatewaychurch.com, we've put a bunch of resources because we want to be the church to one another and to our neighbors in this. You know, we've put a little card that you can download there. And, you know, Kathy and I are going to do this with our neighbors. Put a card on doors all up and down the street and just say, hey, we're your neighbors and we're here to help. If you're self-isolated, self-quarantining, you know, you need something, you need us to run to the store, to go get some medication, you know, whatever we can do. Just don't ask for our toilet paper. Don't have enough. No, not really saying that. But you know, we're trying to empower us to come together. We created a Facebook page for our street, you know, to meet needs together. Let's think creatively. And we want to help meet your needs if you're vulnerable and struggling through this. Go online. Let us know what you need. And if you're doing good, help us with others. Connect in. Let's stay connected and be the church. So here's the thing. When you're going through this week, just to summarize, when you're feeling burdened, stressed, fearful, worried, do this. First, say, I'm not doing it right. Just that's what I do. I say, you're not doing it right. God wants you to live unburdened. And then I just pray, Jesus, show me where I'm trying to control things that are not in my control. And then I have to let go. I have to let it die. You know, I have to let go of playing God. I have to stop trying to get life to go my way and accept life the way it comes to me. And then third, I have to choose to trust God. God, you alone know the future. You alone are in control. I'm going to trust you. You teach me the unburdened way. Help me frame my attitude with your perspective. And then fourth, what's the next right thing I can do? That's responsible action. Do that next right thing. That's what you have the power to control. And then fifth, let go of the rest. God, I'm going to trust you with the worries of tomorrow. I'm going to trust you with how I'll provide, with what will happen. I don't know what will happen, but it's in your hands. You've promised good things for me, for my kids, for my family. I'm going to trust you with that. You know, there was one thing that we did plan that we changed. We were going to do a different song. And this week, I have a Spotify playlist going, and this song pops up on it, and I listened to it. Never heard it before. I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And so I don't think it's an accident. And I want to encourage you not just to listen to the words of this song, but to make it a declaration of your heart. God, tell God, I will not fear. I will not worry. You are near to me. You are my strength. You're my refuge in this time. Make it a declaration. And just remember, you guys, you're not in it alone. God is there with you. And we're with you too. We're still connected. You know, we can get through this together. Let us help each other. And just know you're loved. I love you.